This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Feige, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Watson's going to take a knee for this final snap here to kill the clock. He does, and it is over in Kansas City as the Houston Texans fall to the Chiefs on opening night, 34-20. They're 0-1 with the Ravens coming up for the home opener on September 20th.
Texans lose 34-20. First game of the season did not go very well. Life after Hopkins, so far, not so good. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. It is Football Friday, presented by Carbach Brewing Hopadillo. Hopadillo, very good beer. Had a couple last night, very much enjoyed it. Did not enjoy what I saw, though, with the Houston Texans. OG, some people will say it's just one game. Some people will say you lost to the Super Bowl champs. It's no big deal. What do you feel after watching what you watched last night and heard in Kansas City right here on Sports Radio 610?
Well, let's start the 2020 NFL season day after the way I like to do on every day after. What's your sweeping take, right? What do I feel is like the banner headline, if you will? And then we'll dig into all the details and all the different aspects of this game. My banner headline is very simple. You have a long way to go, and all the messaging, all the tone that you set about the window being open now, win now mode, you can't win now the way it looks right now with the Houston Texans. And then let me put it in context.
Define win.
Win at the highest level. What did I say back in, the months all moved together, April, March, whatever. I feel like if you don't get to the AFC Championship game, given what they've sold as a bill of goods to the Houston Texans fans, the season will be a disappointment. And why? Because we've seen this team. We've still seen Bill O'Brien carry this team to the divisional round or the first round of the postseason and never get over the hump. This team can't get over the hump. Now, let me just clarify one way, and I want to get your thoughts. Yes, you have to take into context, into consideration, that's the best football team on the planet you just played. If it's not the best, it's the second best to the one you face this week.
Next week. Give him a little more rest.
Yeah, next week. But you told us with your actions and your words that the window is open now. We're going to try to win now. We think we can get it done now to that level, and you can't. They're not as good as the best, and it's going to be a disappointment if they can't get there quickly.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. It's a Reaction Friday / Football Friday presented by Carbach Brewing Hopadillo IPA. It's not necessarily that you lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. Losing to the Kansas City Chiefs, especially on the first day of the season, having to go to Kansas City, there's no shame in that. So the fact that the Texans lost to the Kansas City Chiefs doesn't have me concerned. Mm-hmm. But it's the way in which they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Exactly.
It's the way in which it happened. Could I interest you in a stat?
Yes, sir.
Last year, in the two games combined against Kansas City, the Chiefs rushed for 171 total yards on the ground. 171. Yesterday, they rushed for 166. So they had five less yards on the ground yesterday than they did in both games combined against the Texans. Now, why is that concerning? It's concerning because the AFC South is built to where there are running teams. Your biggest competition, those two teams, they want to run the ball. Tennessee wants to run the ball with Derrick Henry. The Colts just drafted Jonathan Taylor in the second round to pair with Marlon Mack, who was top 10 in the league in rushing. Mm-hmm. You let DJ Reader go. You were the worst third down defense. You were the worst red zone defense in the NFL last year. And the one thing you did good because of DJ Reader was you stopped the run. You were ninth in the league against the run.
Yeah.
It does look like this team is going to have problems stopping the run. And the Kansas City Chiefs, I know that this game was never in doubt. And I know if you actually watched the game, the Chiefs, it was never in doubt. They had it in control. It doesn't even feel like they opened up things. It feels like they just ran the rock. And that's a problem because if you can't stop the run, you're going to have problems against Baltimore. You're going to have problems against Indianapolis. You're going to have problems against pretty much everyone on your schedule because you are soft up front. That front seven, J-Lo, we talked about it.
That was my most important thing on the defense.
It looks like it might be a problem. And you invested all this in the offense, and the bottom line is Bill O'Brien can talk about defense, and he can talk about not getting off the field, but the bottom line is your offense is going to have to be very, very, very good in order to stay in games if you're not going to stop the run, and there's reason to be concerned about the offense after yesterday as well.
Well, you hit on a couple of things there that I think are very, very important. Talk about the big sweeping thought. What's your banner headline? Here are the sub-headlines that I think are equally as important. Offensive line and defensive lines were worked. I mean, Deshaun Watson got sacked four times and pressured a lot more. Chris Jones had his way on the interior line. Maybe that is just because it's the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs have a great up front. They got Ford in.
They got Clark in and
obviously Chris Jones. So maybe there's a little bit of an aspect of that. But your defensive line, which I never, ever wavered off of this, it was my biggest worry about this team. They got, a 16-play drive and an 11-play drive. I saw Clint Sterner tweeting about, you got to make them work, that it was a good thing. Yeah, in a sense, it is a good thing. But it's also very, very ominous that they can just pound, 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 move you around. I saw a screenshot. I forget who tweeted it, but I saw a screenshot of a Clyde Edwards-Helaire run where there were seven Texans defenders and there were seven Chiefs blocking him. I mean, he had his choice of four different holes. I mean, the offensive and defensive lines were awful.
And the team you play next week, the team you play in 9 days, is the best rushing team in the entire NFL. It was so bad, John McClain just quit doing his job. Four and a half decades of covering the NFL.
What,
John
47
McClain,
years?
He never misses. The dude never misses an assignment. He's always wherever he needs to be. This is how bad it got. John McClain just said, F it, after yesterday.
That was a big drive in the game.
John McClain.
He pulled out of the Zoom. He said he's done.
He just quit.
Aaron Wilson.
That's how bad it was.
I'm out.
John McClain just dipped
what
out.
The-
713-572-4610. It's time to react.
Let's react.
Ben, you're on In the Loop on Football Friday. Go ahead.
My reaction is I am not that worried.
Okay.
Simply because we have not had the time to gel, and especially with this circumstance. And secondly, when you look at when the Chiefs went from being a good team to a championship team, it was little tweaks that they made. It wasn't huge overhauls. We have some talent, but maybe we just need some little tweaks in coaching.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I tried to temper it slightly because this is a very big concern for this team. I mean, the way they looked in their opener, they're not going to get anywhere that they've in essence promised us. Okay. So I did temper it with, you are playing the Chiefs here, but you're supposed to be in that neighborhood. You're not even in the same city. And then the other thing that you said, Landry, that I think is important that we need to get into a little more, and I know we will because our loopholes will, our listeners, Deshaun Watson does not have a wide receiver he can trust. He doesn't. He does. I mean, you can talk, get over it with DeAndre Hopkins. dude, you had DeAndre Hopkins. He was in uniform. And right now, I mean, Cook's had a couple of moments, but dropped the ball. I mean, Randall Cobb, I mean.
Fuller had 10 targets. That's the other thing. You're supposed to spread it out. Will Fuller had 10 targets. Yeah. I think the next one was 5.
Yeah.
So, okay. So is Will Fuller just the new DeAndre Hopkins where you rely on him? That's another thing that's concerning. And also, let's just say this. We can sit here and blame the defense. They haven't invested much in the defense. And quite frankly, the investments they've made have been ridiculous. This offense is not up to par given the assets that they've dedicated to it. Last time in Kansas City when you faced them in the playoffs, you got 14 points, 7 off of a punt block, and then 7 off of a fumble inside the 20.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you had that 24-point lead and you disappeared. 14 of those points were basically given to you, and the offense disappeared. You had the drive where you took the 7-0 lead, mm-hmm. and then the offense disappeared to where the first possession of the third quarter, you're basically fighting an uphill battle, and there's some mop-up duty. So we can talk about the defense, but the offense is just as much of a problem, if not more, given everything you've invested. Let's go to Howard. Howard, you're on Football Friday. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I have a question. At what point does the general manager / head coach held responsible for this fiasco? Because last night was a fiasco. It was an embarrassment. I mean, there's an old New York joke. A guy's at a horse race, and he says, I don't mind if my horse loses, but when he comes over to me and says, which way did the other horses go? That's when I have a problem.
You can always count on Dr. Howard.
Yeah, and last night, and this has been going on, whatever secret is behind the Hopkins trade, we may never know until somebody writes a book. But last night, the quarterback had no protection, or almost no protection, from all that we spent on the offensive line, and the wide receiving core was just out of it.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And we said this at the start of the season. I almost think, you know, we talk about Jadeveon Clowney getting traded out of spite from B.O.B., and we talk about Nuke Hopkins getting traded out of spite. With what DeAndre Hopkins got paid, I can kind of understand why the Texans didn't want to give him that. Okay, I said I can kind of understand. But I think the Randall Cobb signing and the Eric Murray signing were two of the worst moves that I've seen a front office make in a while. Randall Cobb getting $18 million guaranteed at this point in his career, coming off a year in which he had a one-year $5 million contract,
he was nowhere.
Is laughable. And I think that this was done in spite of Kiki QT. I think Bill O'Brien got so frustrated with Kiki QT that he overpaid for Randall Cobb, and there's a bunch of moving parts. 713-572-4610. Let's keep it going. It is Football Friday, presented by Carbach Brewing Hopadillo IPA. Strong recommendation there. That's the best way to get your Friday started. Speaking of King Bill, let's hear from Bill O'Brien. Let's hear what he's got to say for himself following yesterday. Let's also hear from you. Reaction Friday / Football Friday continues next.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
We just got to get guys healthy, get guys, you know, back in, you know, just kind of that rhythm and chemistry. First live action with some new pieces. So, you know, we just got to continue to just keep growing and keep learning and watch the film, correct the mistakes, and just get ready for next week. But those guys are coming.
Who's unhealthy? Deshaun said they got to get guys healthy. Who's hurt? Brandon Cooks?
I guess he's talking to Brandon Cooks. Kiki QT? Is he that big of a...
I mean, I don't know. The guy in front of him just got $18 million guaranteed.
Well, Randall this Cobb. Is true. This is true.
One catch, one mop-up catch for Randall Cobb. It is Football Friday here on In the Loop. We'll hear from Bill O'Brien in just a sec. 713-572-4610. Let's go to JR, the UPS guy. JR, go ahead, man.
Man, what's up, fellas, man? I'm hurting right now, man. So, full disclaimer, I'm fully in my feelings right now, man. But, look... I'm going to say something, man, the city of Houston ain't going to like, man. I just have believe it's been true. I believe Deshaun Watson has great, great potential. But here's the thing. Deshaun is a regular quarterback that has elite attributes, okay? And what I mean by that is I've been fed over the last 3 years with these spectacular plays he's made and have not realized or recognized the fact that he's a regular quarterback, and he still plays like he's in college somewhat at times. Now, I know there's a lot of nuance and various things that happen, new play callers, right, new positions, new wide receivers that came in, but he's like the James Harden of the Houston Texans. He can be spectacular, right? But there are times, man, when he breaks down, man, he's all the way out of it. Just like in Denver last year, just like in Baltimore, okay, just like in Kansas City in the playoffs, and just like yesterday, man, like he completely disappears. Maybe y'all can help me with that, man. That's it.
There we go. So he's going at Deshaun. I usually give to Deshaun the bulletproof vest. Did you see anything from Deshaun yesterday that made you question whether or not he was ready to go?
JR can absolutely have that opinion. I do not agree. We need to, you know, obviously we'll see how it plays out. I think part of Deshaun Watson's problem, and you could actually see a little frustration on the bench when they would show him in the third and fourth quarter. You know, they're down 24-7. They showed him, and he just has this look like just, you know, almost distraught. But I think he's in a situation where if it happens, it's going to be him. I mean, let's talk about like their offensive arsenal right now. David Johnson, tip of the cap, 77 yards. I mean, that was decent, but it wasn't like he was. I mean, the rookie on the other side went for a buck 40. The wide receivers, Randall Cobb, invisible. Like you said, one catch, one garbage time catch. Brandon Cooks, all right. I mean, a pretty bad drop.
That's a second round pick you traded for Brandon Cooks.
A pretty bad drop on third down when the game was still close. I believe that was him. Will Fuller got targeted a lot, but I mean, no big hit, a 30-yard play, I think, but no. Tight ends, where are the tight ends?
Aiken scored.
Okay. I mean, but I'm saying they had 7 points in the third quarter. And so if it doesn't happen, you know, if Deshaun Watson doesn't make it happen, it ain't going to happen.
The other thing that I think is just funny is Tim Kelly's calling the plays. And they're down 17 points in the third quarter. And at one point, on 8 plays in a drive, they ran the ball 4 times.
Yeah.
It's like it's the same stuff that we've seen a long time. And that was my concern. Is Tim Kelly going to be like Bill O'Brien? That was very Bill O'Brien-like. And honestly, Seth said it this morning. Everybody wants him to run up tempo, including myself. They're not good at it. Mm-hmm. They're not good at it. However they practice, whatever they do, however practice is lined up, they're not good at it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sitting here asking for like some sort of college up tempo. They're not good at it. There was one sequence where Tim Kelly looked great. The second drive of the game where David Johnson got in the end zone. There was a play where they got 9 yards and they lined up real quick. Boom, first down, kept it going. They seemed to have some well-designed screens, but then it just fell apart. Yeah. They might have still been on the script in that situation. Those plays might have actually been scripted to where you're still doing that. And then as you have to adjust, it just fell apart. And it looked very, very familiar after that drive. It looked like the offense that we've gotten used to with the Texans, and there were way too many drops yesterday by the receivers. You want to talk about a guy who doesn't drop the rock, DeAndre Hopkins.
If only they had a guy that you could trust in a pinch, you could trust on one of those jailbreak plays, which they had several of those jailbreak plays. You know, he got sacked 4 times and pressured by the Chiefs' defensive front. If only someone who had a great catch radius, if you only had someone that all else fails, you just throw it in his direction. They don't have DeAndre Hopkins. And again, you know, I'm gonna say this a couple of times, I'm sure, today. I understand that's the Chiefs, but their secondary is the weakest part of their team, by all accounts. And the Texans wide receivers needed a DeAndre Hopkins, flat out, and they didn't have it.
713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on Football Friday. Go ahead.
Hey, real quick. First of all, let me say I love J.J. Watt. You know, I do. But I'm trying to figure out if we get rid of Hopkins, which was a producer, we get rid of Clowney, which produced, we get rid of, I think it was the nose tackle, I'm not sure.
DJ Reader, yeah.
DJ Reader, we get rid of him, which produced. But, you know, JJ, in the last 3 years, he's been hurt. And even when he's on the field, I don't really see a significance that he's making to keep him and pay him all that money. I don't understand why we get rid of guys that produce and the other guy. Like last night, I could tell we didn't have Clowney. I could tell we didn't have Reed. I can tell we didn't have Hop. I could tell that. So I don't understand why we get rid of him and expect to be better.
I'm with you, Mike. And the thing about JJ is he's actually a bargain right now, his deal. There's no guaranteed money next year. Mm-hmm. But he mentions getting rid of guys and getting rid of talent specifically on defense. It's maddening how much this team could use Clowney. It is maddening to watch this team and imagine how much Jadeveon Clowney would help this team. It is frustrating to where I almost want to break my damn TV watching this team and imagining how much better they would be if they had a guy who could stop the run like Clowney and get after the quarterback every once in a while. It's maddening.
Well, let me answer his point directly because, you know, he's talking and you're talking about, you know, the players that he got rid of. To me, that's the most frustrating thing about watching this team yesterday. Bill O'Brien crafted this team exactly the way he wanted to, right? And said it was going to work. This is the way we're going to win this year. Clowney out of here. Hop out of here. Doesn't practice. You know, whatever it is. You know, brought in, you know, traded away a lot of draft picks. Brought in Tunsil. Okay, Tunsil had a good game. You know, but he made this team exactly. He and Jack Easterby made this team exactly the way they wanted to make this team. This is what's most frustrating because this is the team you made. This is the team that you think is going to have all the ingredients to get it done. I mean, you have some severe holes on both sides of the ball. And again, more than anything, both lines need a lot of work. You can't win with these lines.
No, you can't. I mean, and then that's a problem because in the offensive line, you've invested quite a lot. You've ignored the front seven, but mm-hmm. but in the offensive line, you've invested quite a lot. And another thing about the whole experience, 713-572-4610, I feel like I'm watching a 2A football team with Jack Easterby sometimes. And I'm not sitting here saying he doesn't work hard, and I'm not saying he's not an asset to an organization. But when I see him running up and down the sidelines and leading the team up the tunnel and just prancing up and down, and then he's releasing statements.
I'm a people person.
He's talking about, like, he's basically doing everything. It's basically like an athletic director at a 2A school. Mm-hmm. Like, he's mowing the grass. He's raising money in the concession stand. He's got a bake sale going on. He's going on the PA and saying, hey, buy one, get one free at the bake sale. And he's also getting the uniforms ready and doing all that. It feels weird. It feels weird with that situation. And all the sudden statements are coming out. It's a weird experience. Luckily, it's early on, and we could be talking about them beating the Ravens. This is the kind of game that Bill O'Brien does win, where you bounce back and you beat the Ravens.
Yeah,
but it doesn't feel good. Life without Hopkins doesn't feel good. Life without Clowney doesn't feel good. And it's just a real weird vibe watching Texans game, one game into this era, this Jack and Bill marriage. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's go to Keith. Keith, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, first of all, I want to say, man, I like y'all show. I love y'all show. I listen to it all the time. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
I honestly think that, man, with Bill O'Brien, there's no way we're going to win. There's no way because every time there's a prime game, a game that we got to show out, he never coaches the team to where they need to be. I mean, we've never won beating Kansas City when we should have. The things that he's trying to do, it's not working. We need to get rid of Bill O'Brien. And for the other caller that said that Deshaun Watson is not a great player, man, Deshaun is great. What can he do if you got offensive line not blocking? And if you got a defense that is trash, that all we got is J.J. Watt, when nobody is giving him the ball back, or you got receivers that are not working and supposed to be working, man, I'm just frustrated because I've been a fan since day one of Houston, Texas. I was an Oilers fan.
I hear you, man.
And now I'm a Houston, Texas fan since day one. And I got to hear all these Cowboys fans holding our face. Yeah. Man, it's just so frustrating to be a fan right now for the dumb moves that he made. And like you said, who else you got to rush the passer besides J.J. Watt?
Nobody.
Whitney, where's Whitney? Where is he at?
Counting his money. I think he's counting his money. That would be the answer to that. And I mean, in Deshaun's defense, the first drive of the game, Tom Brady couldn't have thrown the ball better on the back shoulder to Will Fuller than he did. And Will Fuller drops it. And then all of a sudden you have to punt. I mean, it's maddening. It's frustrating. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are just used to it.
It's one game. But I think the importance of not overreacting here is real. But you also should react to the fact that we were told this is the team.
That's it.
This is the leadership.
That's it.
This is the year. Contracts don't look all that great. A lot of these guys aren't going to be around in 2 years.
Well,
so this is the window. Well, the window has gone from open to just a little crack because they're not in the same neighborhood.
They're not. Let's hear from Bill O'Brien coming up. Let's hear from you as well. Reaction Friday/Football Friday presented by Carbach Brewing Hopadillo IPA continues next.
I had to root for these Rudy Poutines.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Second down and one for the Texans at the 19-yard line of Kansas City. Handoff Johnson, right side, 15, breaking a tackle, 10, to the 5, to the pylon. He's in! Touchdown, David Johnson. Welcome to the Texans.
That was the FU drive from King Bill and Jack Easterby. Texans take a 7-0 lead over the Chiefs, but then it completely fell apart. Chiefs started basically running the ball at will, and then after Fairbairn's missed field goal at the end of the first half, and then the Chiefs getting three and then scoring on the opening drive, it was basically a wrap. 24-7, Chiefs never looked back. But you had a couple catches from Brandon Cooks on that drive. You had David Johnson looking good going into the end zone. It looked like Jack and Bill, Tim Kelly, were sticking their middle fingers up to the entire city of Houston, including the two guys in this room, the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker. It is Football Friday presented by Carbach Brewing Hopadillo, one of my favorite beers. J-Lo, it looked good early on.
It did.
Just like last time these teams played, but then the offense kind of disappears. The defense looks outmanned, and it might not have been blowing a 24-0 lead, but the dominance to me from the Chiefs wasn't that much different from the last time we saw these two teams meet.
Well, the frustrating thing for me is as you kind of digest the game, you realize that you don't have the horses. You don't have the personnel to match with the elite teams in the NFL. And you were promised that you would. You know, this was, as I just mentioned a second ago, you know, they built this team in the image they wanted to build it, and that image has players that are just not good enough. Not good enough, or put in positions, you know, that where they can't excel. And that's a problem, because that's a leadership problem. I mean, what happened yesterday absolutely positively starts at the top.
Yeah.
This is the squad that they wanted.
The throne, King
Bill.
This
is the squad they wanted. Yep. This is the team. Why'd you get rid of Jadeveon Clowney? So you could have this team. Why'd you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins? So you could have this team. Why'd you get rid of those draft picks? So you could have this team.
I had to root for these Rudy Poutines.
This is the team you wanted. And it's not good enough. And it's personnel, too.
And the frustrating thing, we're about to hear from Bill O'Brien. The frustrating thing to me is I don't think there's any accountability on the offensive side of the rock. I think the offense gets all the attention, and whenever the offense screws up, they blame the defense. What the hell do you expect with what you've invested on this defense? You let Clowney walk away. You let freaking Reader walk away. You bring in Eric Murray for $6 million freaking dollars. Whitney Merciless is tough, smart, dependable. So you decide you're going to pay him, let Clowney walk. There's reports that you were so desperate you even went back crawling to Jadeveon Clowney before he signed with the Titans, and your defense is getting sliced. But you know what? At least you've invested all this in the offense. Randall Cobb, $18 million up front. Sure, go out there and have one catch. Brandon Cooks, okay, couple catches. David Johnson touches the ball 11 times. It's embarrassing, and it's even more embarrassing when Bill O'Brien goes up there at the podium and he gives the offense an excuse and always talks about the defense. You put the team together, Bill.
Yeah.
You got rid of DJ Reader. You stopped the run good last year, but you didn't this year because you let DJ Reader go. Quit giving the offense excuses and blaming the defense. Here's Bill O'Brien yesterday after the game doing exactly what I just said, and this is why I'm pissed off on Football Friday.
Bill, tonight, obviously, things didn't go as planned. Your take on what happened to you guys defensively against Patrick Mahomes and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I have a question about the offense as well.
Yeah, we just, first half, we had trouble stopping a run, and the time of possession was not good, which involves the offense too, but obviously. And then we came out in the second half and
it does involve the offense too. Okay. Yes, it does.
It does.
Yes, it does, Bill. You don't have to apologize for blaming your offense, your favorite child. Go ahead. Good
and
Lord.
They scored on that first drive, and that was tough because we needed a stop there to do it, but to get the ball back to the offense. I thought the guys fought. You know, they at the end, we were able to score a couple touchdowns there at the end, but it was too little too late. So there's some things to build on, but we got a long way to go here, obviously, and we got to get going, and we have to improve very quickly.
Edwards-Helaire and Patrick Mahomes, just your thoughts on both those guys and their performance.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick's a great player. He's You know, he's a great player. And, you know, as usual, he made some plays tonight. And then, you know, Hilaire, we knew he was a really good back, you know, scouted him and coming out of the draft and, you know, very, very good back. And we had trouble with him tonight. So we have to go back and really work hard to improve those things. We got to get better very quickly.
Bill, what did you see overall from your team tonight? You guys were able to come back late, as you mentioned, but you're also down big in that game. And that's the second time you've played them in 8 months. And both of those games, ultimately, they've had your number.
Yeah, they did. I mean, there's not much more you can say. I mean, I just think that we got down again. And, you know, like I said, we had trouble stopping a run, had trouble getting off the field. And then we sustained the first drive, the second drive of the game for a touchdown, you know, but then we couldn't sustain a couple drives there. And it was, you know, our defense couldn't get off the field. So we got down and then we got, you know, the first drive of the second half was a big one because they took it down and scored. And that, you know, we dug a hole there. We did come back at the end, but it was too little too late. There's a lot to build on, but it's not, you know, obviously not where you want to be, but there's definitely things to build on. And we got to improve very quickly this week.
Listen to Bill O'Brien on Football Friday here on Sports Radio 610. Good Lord. Go ahead, Bill. Take it away, man. Give the offense some excuses.
Bill, Watson was under a lot of pressure tonight. Could you talk about the way he played? And also, it didn't look like he had a whole lot of time most of the time.
Yeah, we had trouble with Frank Clark. We had trouble with some of their games up front. We have to really fix that very quickly here. I thought Deshaun played well. He played hard. He played tough. You know, he kept fighting, and he brought us – he got us back in the game there at the end. Like I said earlier, it was a little bit – you know, it was too late. But, yeah, there's a lot of things to fix. It's one game.
Did he bet on the game or something? Like, he says that they made it a game late. No, you didn't. Like, what did he have the Texans plus 9.5 or something? Like, I heard him say this a couple times. What do you mean y'all made it a game late?
Well,
it
wasn't win. A game. If you did, it didn't win.
I mean, I mean, good Lord, did you bet? Did you put some money down on the Texans? It wasn't a game. It was the Chiefs were in control of this game.
Well,
after the Texans scored that first touchdown,
nobody wants to hear we made it a game.
They didn't know.
No, I'm just saying you're right. They didn't, but nobody wants to hear we made it a game. Given everything that you've done from the leadership standpoint, the personnel standpoint, even Reader, you know, even Reader's another one that, okay, you know, you made that decision. It was a mistake. It was a flat-out mistake.
The Chiefs yesterday ran for 166 yards. In the two meetings combined last year, they ran for 171.
Yeah.
And you let DJ Reader go, who stops the run well. It's
if
connected.
Only, you know, it's a good thing that there's not a lot of really good running teams that the Texans are going to face this year.
That's another thing. We'll get into that.
God almighty.
I'm scared as hell.
One game, and we have to improve very quickly, but it is just one game. And so we have to get back here and players will be off a little bit this weekend, but we got to get back to work very soon and fix these things.
Look, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just jumped in there.
We're done with him.
Look, go
enjoy your weekend, Bill.
I have a feeling.
Good Lord.
And maybe I'm just, you know, punch drunk here, a little punchy from Bill O'Brien fatigue. But listening to him comment right there, you can already hear
the excuses.
The blame on the play calling offensively. We didn't get into it. Well, you know,
we didn't sustain drives.
We didn't sustain drives. We couldn't get off the field. Who's he talking about? He ain't talking about himself. You know?
I mean, did Whitney Merciless play yesterday? I love Whitney, man. Yeah. Like, look, and I'm happy Whitney got his money. I love what he's done in the community and stuff, but did Whitney Merciless play yesterday? You realize that Whitney Merciless is basically going to be $14 million against the cap next year as well, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
We saw him fall off the map last year when J.J. was out.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney Merciless, I really didn't see him last year. I still don't know what an Eric Murray is. I have no idea what an Eric Murray is. A.J. Moore's out there. God bless him. Because he wasn't even good enough to play a defensive snap in January when these two teams played, and your starting safety didn't play, Tashawn Gibson. Your backup, Jahlil Adai, didn't play. Lonnie Johnson was having to guard Travis Kelce, and he got hurt in the middle of the game, and A.J. Moore did not play a defensive snap. So 8 months later, A.J. Moore's on the field having to guard Travis Kelce in the red zone. Yeah. How do you think that's going to go?
You know,
full on they ass boy is how it goes.
I'm telling you. And look, I keep trying to just even, you know, temper my own thoughts because of the opponent, but I keep going back to the same thing. You're supposed to be an equal here. You're supposed to be an equal with these guys. You're not. You're not even close to being an equal. Did you see what DeAndre Hopkins tweeted after the game?
I did.
Grateful.
Grateful.
Right after the game.
Yeah. Think that's a coincidence?
Yeah.
713-572-4610. Ray, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going there, fella?
Terrible, man. Did you watch last night?
Let me inject some positivity. First of all, DeAndre Hopkins with his tweets and tweets and all that stuff. Arizona, you guys suck. You're not going to have a good season. But that's a story for another day. But I'm one of these people that I'm not going to overreact on one game against the defending Super Bowl champs. Let's look at it like this. The Chiefs are going to do that to almost everybody they play this year. And it's not like we lost against, like we came out there and lost against the Jaguars or something like that. We lost against the Chiefs. They're going to do that against 9 out of 10 teams they play this year. They're going to do that against. Now, what concerns me, though, is the offense is going to be fine. I think they'll be okay. Now, the defense, we may have – I don't see no improvements. And if they can't stop the run, and whoa, look who we got coming in here next week.
Yeah.
It's just I mean, if we can't stop the run and we got Lamar Jackson coming in here next week, we got problems. But I think we'll finish the first 4-2-2 okay. Because I don't Pittsburgh and Minnesota, they don't scare me.
Here's the problem. Okay. Here's the problem. I get your point. I appreciate your point.
Dalvin Cook's a pretty good running back.
But,
I will say that.
But if you're going to sit here and say, and I appreciate the positive vibes, I can use all that I can.
I could use a hug.
But I disagree here, and I want to get your thoughts, Landry. You know, he said the Chiefs are going to do that to everybody, you know, 90% or whatever he said of the teams they face. And oh my goodness, here comes Baltimore. That's going to be a problem too. Well, then what's the goal? If you're going to concede, well, we're not as good as those guys, and we'll never be as good as those guys, well, then what's the goal? Is the goal to win the division and be ousted in the first round of the playoffs? Because that's a failure. That would be a failure for this team. For a lot of teams, I mean, the Browns would be doing backflips, right? But for a lot of teams, in year 7, that is a failure for this team.
That's the problem, though, is that I think it's not necessarily that they lost to the Chiefs. It's how they lost to the Chiefs.
Right.
Okay? You allowed 166 yards rushing, and you only allowed 171 in your two matchups combined last year. And your division is the two biggest, the competition of your division, the two teams, they both run the rock. So that is very, very discouraging. And quite honestly, I don't know. I could see this offense being good, but based on what I saw yesterday, specifically with the offensive line, and we warned you about a potential sophomore slump from Titus Howard. I know he's going against Frank Clark, so I'm going to give him a pass. But what I saw from that offense yesterday, I liked what I saw from David Johnson. I liked what I saw out of Jordan Akins. I think Jordan Akins could get more involved. I'm not positive that this is going to be a top 10 offense or whatever, and you have the most money in the NFL invested on the offensive side of the rock. So I'm concerned about the defense, and I'm not 100% certain that this spread the ball to everybody. We're going to get everybody involved. DeAndre Hopkins was basically a crutch. I'm not convinced.
But you still don't have a third and jailbreak player to throw the ball to. You don't have him, and you had him last year. He's grateful after the game. But I'll just go back to his point. I get it. I you guys have heard me repeatedly already today. Look, I understand it's just one game. But that's the only game we have to judge, all right? So if you think we're overreacting, what else do we have to react to?
Nothing.
Just that game. And the second thing is, if you're going to concede, well, can't beat Baltimore, can't beat Kansas City, okay, then your goals are misguided, and it starts with the leadership.
That's what it is. 713-572-4610. We're going to keep this rolling on Football Friday, presented by Carbach Brewing. Shout out to Hopadillo, that green can. So awesome. Green and brown. My goodness, that's a good beer. Barbara Bush Literacy Foundation. We're doing some good stuff this week. Obviously, we're excited football's back. We're excited with everything we got going on. But this is the most important thing that we will do this week. There's only one book for every 300 low-income households in Houston. One out of 300, which means when these kids from low-income households, they go to school, they're already fighting an uphill battle.
Yep.
And that's why we are trying to help them out by donating how much ever you want to donate. We recommend $30 because that gets a kid 6 books of their choice, gets them excited about reading and prevents them or at least gives them a chance not to become yet another statistic.
And I'm recommending 100 since it's the last day. I mean, we'll take 30.
It's easy for you to do, sir.
We'll take 30. We'll absolutely take
30. You got
30.
A hunt in there?
but it's the last day. HTX reads to 41444. You know what? Just go drop a hundo if you can. And not if you can't. If you can't, don't do it.
Hey, 30's okay, too.
30's okay. But it's the last day.
Whatever you can.
Time to put this thing over the top. Drop a hundo. HTX reads at 41444.
Let me hold a hun. 41444 HTX reads. Let's help these kids out here on Sports Radio 610. Football Friday continues. Texans lose 34-20. Let's get some more reaction from the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a Loophole. Shout out to you. Football Friday. It sucks that we're talking about an L, but my gosh, football is back. Let's soak it in next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.